Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. So here in a little bit, I'm going to be addressing the social media companies, how they have actually forfeited their protection under Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act, that they are in fact publishers, and why it is we should all be filing massive lawsuits against these social media companies every time they engage in censorship from a publishing decision standpoint. But first, let's go ahead and get into a couple of things. Okay, so we have the world's dumbest criminal arrested after responding to a Facebook post about her being a fugitive. Now, this is funny. Lorraine Graves was wanted as an accessory to murder. The Tulsa Police Department posted on Facebook that there was an award for information leading to her arrest. Unlike in San Francisco, crime is still illegal in Tulsa. Someone responded with information about Lorraine Graves. It was Lorraine Graves. She responded to a Facebook post about her arrest asking, and I quote, "Where's the reward money at?" She does not know how social media works, apparently. She didn't even use a burner account. She used her actual normal Facebook account. And as she responded, other people were mocking her. And so this is the world's dumbest criminal. So she commits a crime, or she's wanted in connection to a crime, an accessory to murder. And she sees a post about a reward money for information leading to her arrest. And so somehow she thinks that she can collect the award money by giving the police information on where to find her in order to arrest her. I mean, this is one of those funny situations. Like, how dumb can you be? This has to be one of the dumbest criminals. And I'm fairly certain that she grew up in a city dominated by left-wing politics to be this incredibly stupid. In what world or what situation would lead anyone to believe that they would be able to collect the award money for being the one to provide information for their own arrest? No, that's you just turning yourself in. There is no award money for that. And why do they think they would be able to profit? So, okay, I committed a crime. I'm hiding out. Ooh, if I turn myself in, I can get money? Is that the thought process here? Man, the stupidity of the left. But of course, the left lives in a delusional fantasy world. We see this all the time. You know, there are claims of transgenderism and such. But it never seems to matter what the facts of the situation are. The left creates all of these organizations to provide themselves awards that are designed to give them some sort of credibility that they don't actually have. It's false credibility. They just basically create their own institutions to give themselves their awards. And then they top those awards and try to claim these institutions are credible in order to try and create a perception that they are somehow competent. And so we see that here. Portland ranked among 10 best cities in the United States after a year of riots and homeless spikes. So here it is. Portland. Here's a place where they basically said, it's a holiday for terrorists. You know, it's a terrorist Christmas where left-wing terrorist groups like Black Lives Matter would go out there and burn down in communities, neighborhoods, rioting, looting for nearly an entire year. And they were supported by the Democrats that are in charge. They were protected from the police by the Democrat politicians to be able to go off and engage in before seeing levels of violence and domestic terrorism. And now they're giving an award for being of the 10 best cities. See, this is one of those examples here that show that it's not about actually creating competent government or actually being successful at anything. That the left, all they do is they implement delusional policies. They destroy lives, destroy communities. They act like locusts, going from area to area, destroying everything. But it's okay because all of their leftists are in charge of and have created all of these organizations that they have then pumped up through the circle jerk. You know, the media and the Democrat politicians constantly referencing these left-wing organizations, trying to give them a false sense of credibility. And in return, these organizations that they are pumping up the credibility of gives them all the awards, no matter how incompetent or how bad their governance is. And it's all just a charade. It's a scam, is what it is. So you're going to tell me that a city that was on fire almost every single night for about a year, with looters, rioters, arsonists, and blatant random acts of violence throughout an entire year. And you're going to tell me they get an award for being among the 10 best cities in the United States? By what criteria are we using here? And this is being done by U.S. News and World Report is the one that puts Portland at number 10 for the 10 best cities. Now, what is the criteria used here? If the criteria is the 10 best cities for criminals, then maybe, yeah, then maybe you got a point. But if you're talking about the 10 best cities for citizens to live in, this is just, I'm at a loss for words here as far as what this is. I mean, this is how the left operates on everything. They lie and they create fake awards for themselves. And even worse is when they use awards and institutions that once had credibility, completely corrupt them, and then just use them to try and cover up for the total and complete incompetence of the Democrat Party. And you wonder why the United States has the lowest trust in media of any country whatsoever. Why it is we're constantly going out looking at the media and saying, you are fake news. It's because they constantly prove us right that they are fake news. And they constantly prove us right that they're there not to create a well-informed public, but to gaslight and push propaganda. Okay, moving on here. And it's time to address big tech and their censorship effort. And I say this because this morning I wake up and I see on my YouTube channel, community guidelines strike, medical misinformation. Now, it's interesting to see that because first off, the video that they are saying medical misinformation was based off of a lawsuit that was filed by parents in DC. They are filing lawsuits because what is going on is that their kids are being vaccinated without their consent and without their knowledge, that they are purposely withholding information about what they are doing to their kids from the parents, and that this is actually endangering the kids' lives. First off, the parents don't know if the child is being vaccinated. They don't know if the child is having an adverse reaction to a vaccine, if something is going wrong. And by the way, there have been some adverse reactions to the COVID-19 vaccine, just as there have been adverse reactions by certain segments of the population to just about every vaccine under the sun. I mean, there is no vaccine in which is 100% safe for 100% of the population, because there are certain people with one-off situations. And so if parents don't know that their kids are being vaccinated and they come down, you know, ill, or they get a fever, or they're having some sort of reaction, and the parents don't know that they've been vaccinated, this creates a situation where the parents don't know what to be looking for, don't know possibilities, and may mistake an adverse reaction to a vaccine for something else, which may delay or cause them not to seek medical help if an adverse reaction is happening. Or in another situation here, if parents don't know that their kids have already been vaccinated and decide after doing the research and taking a look at the number of people who've already been vaccinated to try and gauge what the safety of the vaccination is, decides, okay, now I'm going to get my kids vaccinated. And they don't know that the child was already vaccinated, maybe within the past couple of days, and they get a second vaccination. Well, there are risks and dangers about getting multiple vaccinations in a short period of time. This is all medical information, right? And it's not specific to the COVID-19 vaccine, but the heart of the video that I was talking about is the part where they are deliberately setting up to keep information from parents about their minor kids and what the state is doing, or in this case, the city of DC, what they are doing to the kids and keeping it secret from the parents and what type of mindset that is. But YouTube takes down the video and gives me a community guideline strike, and the fact that they're calling it medical misinformation. That is actually a relatively new term, isn't it? A new term, and it seems to be a term that was generated by the White House and done so during a week in which the White House admits that they are communicating with social media platforms in order to censor information. And so what we got here is clear indication of illegal activity and behavior. And what do I mean by that? Okay, so what we go on here first is consumer fraud. All right, that is the first illegal action. All right, so what is it about consumer fraud? Well, consumer fraud, these companies are claiming to be platformed under the Communication Decency Act, Section 230. And for access to these so-called platforms, we are providing them monetary payment, not in terms of dollars, but in terms of data. Data in which they are able to use to sell to marketers who then pay cash in order to put advertisements in front of us. So data is a form of payment. There is an exchange that is going on. We're exchanging data for access. And we're doing that based off of the claims that these are platforms. But repeatedly, they prove themselves to be publishers. Now, they try to claim that they are still platforms and that their editorial decisions do not make them publishers because of the otherwise objectionable content statement under Section 230, which they have interpreted as any viewpoints on any subject that they disagree with. Anything that doesn't align with left-wing ideology, which is a view so broad that based off of how they are trying to interpret Section 230, the New York Times could then claim that they are a platform. Secondly, if you were to go through and take a look at what changes they make to their community guidelines as far as what you're not allowed to say, and then the timing of those changes, it becomes very clear that they are acting as agents of the government, that they are acting more specifically as agents of Democrats in government, as an end run around the First Amendment. Now, the government cannot coordinate with private companies in order to do an end run around constitutional restrictions. And so when these platforms decide to give up being platforms and acting as government agents in order to help suppress people from the exercising of their First Amendment rights, they give up the whole "we are a private company" claim. And they give up the, you know, claims of being a platform. They are acting as extensions of the government and a forum of conversation for political speech. And so this action that they are engaged in is not only illegal because it's consumer fraud, but it's also illegal because they are acting as de facto agents of the government. I mean, think about this. You're not allowed to question the outcome of elections or the legitimacy of elections. You notice how they only put that in place after the 2020 election. I mean, before that, if you were questioning the legitimacy of President Trump and the 2016 election, that wasn't a problem. But the moment a Democrat gets into the White House and there becomes real legitimate questions as to the accuracy and legitimacy of the election based off of actual data and facts, all of a sudden, they change their community guidelines to say you're no longer allowed to question the results of an election. And they do that as the Democrats are out there, the incoming administration going out there, dictating that you're not supposed to question the outcome of the election. And then we take a look at the most recent changes, medical misinformation. So as the White House starts coming out and talking about medical information and coordinating with platforms in order to suppress medical misinformation, all of a sudden there's a new guideline that comes out about medical misinformation, what they're deeming medical misinformation. Now, it's amazing how many times the left has declared something misinformation and then it turned out to be true. But the specific guidelines that they are developing and the timelines that they are developing it in shows clear coordination with the government as an attempt to do an end run around the First Amendment to suppress our First Amendment rights. And then you take this in coordination with the fact that they're engaged in consumer fraud, that they are not actually a platform, they are a publisher. And when you take a look at that, you also realize that every time they go out there and they slap what they call a fact check, and the fact checks don't have anything to do with what it is you were saying or the contents or the substance of what you were saying. It's just a generalized fact check, supposedly, that doesn't check anything that you had actually said. And they're using that to basically say, you're a liar. Well, guess what? They are engaged in what is it? Libel or slander? I forget which one is for spoken and which one is for written. So there are three crimes, three illegal actions and behaviors that I see going on being taken by YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter very specifically, consumer fraud, libel, and coordination with the government, acting as government agents to suppress our constitutional rights. And I get it. President Trump is out there and he has filed a class action lawsuit and he's going through to address that. Hey, yes, and we should all be paying very close attention to that. But should we wait for the outcome of that lawsuit? That becomes the question. I mean, some of you who may be listening to this may be going, well, why don't you file the lawsuit? Well, like I said, this becomes a bit of a complicated issue with Trump having already filed a lawsuit. If I were to file a lawsuit right now, would my lawsuit get wrapped up in with Trump's lawsuit as part of a class action lawsuit? I don't know. I would have to discuss with a lawyer about whether or not if I file the lawsuit at this point in time, would it be a separate lawsuit or would it be wrapped up under the class action lawsuit of Trump? Okay. I mean, that is a very fair question. Now, the second issue that I want to go through and address here is about timing. Would it be more beneficial for me to file a lawsuit right now, even if I could keep it separate from President Trump's lawsuit? Or would it be better for me to wait until his lawsuit is completed to see what the outcome is, to see what the precedent is that is being set? And then from that, be able to try and determine, okay, let's say Trump wins his lawsuit. Am I part of that class action lawsuit? Because with class action lawsuits, you know, you could be one of the named defendants without ever knowing that you're one of the named defendants. And therefore, has my ability to file an individual lawsuit been taken away as it's been judged under the class action lawsuit? All right. Now, if the Trump's lawsuit is favorable, you know, the precedent set might bolster my case for filing a lawsuit against these social media companies as well. So timing is also important, but we should all be taking a look at and documenting all the times in which these social media companies are going through and censoring us, pulling down information, engaged in that censorship, right? And use that as documentation of editorial decisions that debunk the claim that they are a platform and that they are engaged in consumer fraud. And then also take a look at the timing of all of the changes to their community guidelines and documenting, okay, the White House said this on this date. Here's what they want censored. Here's when the social media companies implemented new guidelines to censor that information, to show a clear connection, whether implicit or explicit, in which whenever the White House tells the social media companies, either from the podium or through direct emails, and we should be filing for freedom of information under the Freedom of Information Act, all communications from the White House to the social media company, and be able to provide clear documentation of the fact that the changes to the community guidelines are done in coordination with government officials, showing a clear connection that they are acting as agents of the government to try and suppress First Amendment rights of the people. I mean, right now, they, in my opinion, have forfeited all legal protection under Section 230 because they are clearly, by all definitions, acting as a publisher and making editorial decisions. They are labeling things as misinformation, not because they have anything that proves it to be misinformation, but rather based only on the claims of the White House. It doesn't matter that there's a lot of other people in the medical profession saying, hey, we disagree with what is being reported by the White House. So their whole idea of what is and isn't misinformation is based off of what the Biden administration wants declared as misinformation. This is why we get so many things that have been suppressed as misinformation, fake news, and, you know, just general propaganda, I guess, is what they're trying to claim. And then later on, we find out that all the things they labeled as misinformation turned out to be true, such as, remember, when they were suppressing all the information about COVID having originated in a lab and that it had leaked from a lab, and they were suppressing that information with their so-called fact checks, saying that has been debunked, and yet they didn't have anything to back up what their claimed fact checks. Everyone who has had their content fact checked about the lab leak and were basically being called liars by the social media companies file your lawsuits for libel because they were falsely claiming that you were providing false information. They were calling you a liar publicly, even though they had nothing to back up their claims that you were lying, and what they said you were lying about turned out to be true. This is what's sickening. And then I get it. I get why people aren't filing more lawsuits, because they feel hopeless. You know, we are just individual people. You know, we have no ability to match dollar for dollar, you know, the social media companies. And it's like they're trying to basically say, we have immunity from all laws because we have the ability to buy our way out of legal responsibility for anything. And so here it is. I'm going to make this very much clear. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, you are the Joseph Goebbels of the United States in 2021. You are the ones that are suppressing medical information and have gone through and promoted medical misinformation yourself. You are putting lives in danger suppressing information because you don't like what that information is, because it doesn't line up with what you want people to believe versus where the facts actually are. You are the ones who are getting people killed. You are the ones with blood on your hands, and you're doing it purposely. You're doing it because you're trying to coordinate all your censorship activity to align with the DNC, with the current Democrat administration. These people have no morals. These people have no values. These people, they don't care if people die. They don't. All they care about is advancing a political narrative, that clearly defines these companies as publishers. And in their activities, they are coordinating with the government, so they're acting as government agents. They no longer have Section 230 protection. They have forfeited it by engaging in clear publishing and editorial decision-making and aligning their editorial and publishing decision-making with the wishes of government, of Democrat administrative government. And so, yeah, my suggestion or my advice is to go through and file your lawsuits, but consult a lawyer first about the timing of the lawsuit, whether or not it would be best to do it during Trump's lawsuit or wait until after Trump's lawsuit. Now, my hope is Trump's lawsuit goes through, he gets a clear victory, which sets the precedent for us all to start filing massive lawsuits against these social media companies who are publishers, making editorial decisions, engaging in slander, and acting as agents of the government to violate our First Amendment rights. But yeah, I mean, I was just going off on this video to talk about the dangers of keeping information from parents, along with the bigger statement about how the government feels like they own your kids and they can do whatever they want with your kids without your knowledge, and how keeping information from the parent puts kids' lives in danger. And they want to say that keeping parents uninformed or keeping secret from the parents medical information about their children, and saying that if you don't, I guess I'm trying to figure out the best way to explain this, but they're basically trying to say it's medical misinformation to point out that there could be dangers and risks and keeping medical information about kids secret from their parents. How they come to the conclusion that that's medical misinformation, I don't know. I'm sure it's probably just some automatic algorithm, but it's amazing how those algorithms always seem to target falsely one way. I mean, is it any wonder that Google got rid of their slogan, "Don't be evil," because apparently they are pro-evil now. But isn't it amazing? You just declare any viewpoint that doesn't align with your ideology as misinformation, classify it as objectionable. It's objectionable for you to disagree with us. Therefore, we're going to engage in the decision that you're only allowed to post things that we agree with, which makes them publishers. So yeah, I'm hoping Trump's lawsuit, I hope in filing that lawsuit, he did some judge shopping and filed the lawsuit in the area where he's most likely to get a favorable judge, hopefully smart enough to file where he's going to get a judge that he appointed as one, and go ahead and get this settled. If he filed in a district, and I guess I have to do some research on this, in an area that is dominated by left-wing judges, then yeah, I don't know. Because you're going to have some activist judge who doesn't give a shit about what the laws or the Constitution actually says. But hopefully he was smart about where he went about filing his lawsuit. And in moving along here, there was a article that I wanted to get to from the Epoch Times talking about the inflation and just how bad the inflation is going to get. I think I'll go ahead in the interest of time and trying to keep these shows a little bit on the shorter side. Instead, I'm just going to go to another article here and save the inflation one for tomorrow's episode. But 4-year-old shows pro-white bias. Hasbro Insider exposes critical race theory indoctrination inside the toy company. And so when it comes to critical race theory, the indoctrination, teaching kids to be racist and basically, you know, teaching kids to hate each other and to hate the country, it's gone far outside the public education system. We see that it has infected private corporations and various government agencies. See, here's why it's important to know and fight what's going on in the public education system, because it very rarely stays where it originates from. What the left does is starts in one place and then spreads it out, infecting every aspect of life like a virus. And that's what the Democrats are. They are a virus. Or if you don't like that term, they are locusts. They go destroy an area, move on, destroy an area, move on and destroy another area. And so with all the attention on critical race theory in schools, we are missing how much critical race theory has spread. We see private corporations and businesses putting their employees through mandatory critical race theory training. Of course, they call it diversity training. You know, they play the language game. And we see that government agencies, including the military, are pushing this crap onto soldiers and trying to get soldiers to hate their own country for which they are sworn to protect and defend. And every government agency being indoctrinated like this, and the employees of governments being indoctrinated under critical race theory and putting in severe left-wing activists who have no problems engaging in illegal abuse of power to target political opponents. And don't you know, it's always for some altruistic motive, you know, trying to protect freedom and democracy by destroying freedom and democracy. But we see now that toy companies are now pushing critical race theory onto kids, trying to teach kids to hate each other. So a toy company, Hasbro, wants to indoctrinate children into Marxism. That's the accusation made by David Johnson, a packaging engineer contracted to the company. Johnson is blowing the whistle to James O'Keefe, claiming the company is coming after our kids via toy marketing and packaging. That's just for starters. Johnson points to a pro-CRT workshop that employees were forced to sit through. The company leading the workshop, workshop, is called Conscious Kids. You know, they always play the language game. You know, no. Hitler wasn't engaged in genocide. No. He was protecting the Jews. That would be the Democrats' claims today. He was, you know, fighting for equality. I mean, that's how they would go about defending Hitler today. I mean, let's not forget, the Democrats did initially start off defending Hitler and praising Hitler, with Time magazine giving Hitler Person of the Year award. So let's not forget the Democrats' history here. Okay, the mandatory training was meant to lecture Hasbro employees about infants' inherent racism. Infants' racism? Infants aren't racist. They don't have any concept of race. They don't have any information or knowledge. They don't know anything. They don't retain any memory of anything as an infant. They have no biases. Heck, they can't even really see. Do you know how close you have to be? You have to pretty much be nose to nose with a baby for them to even get a blurry outline of what you're like. All right. So the training goes off to say that by 3 to 6 months, babies are beginning to notice and already expressing preference by race. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're showing preference towards their parents and people that they know. You know, the people, basically, the baby's preferences are who's feeding and changing them. That's who their preference is. And so if you go through with that and take a look at that, a baby's preferences, you know, are you calm? Are you feeding them? Are you changing their diaper? If you're doing those three things, The baby loves you. That's their preference. It's based off of your actions, not how you look, because they have no concept of how you look, no concept of race, no real concept of anything. They eat, sleep, and their diapers. That's their entire world. That's their entire information base. All right, then it goes on to say, by age 3, white children may report explicit or overt negative attitudes towards people of color. No, that is not true. And the claim that they are making is racist. And that is one of the most interesting things. These anti-racists are some of the most blatantly naked racists in the country. They're not anti-racism. They are pro-racism. All right. And then at age 5, children show many of the same racial attitudes held by adults. Well, first off, children are taught by their parents. They mimic their parents. And so what they're trying to say is that your kids are racist because you're a racist. And you're a racist because of your skin color. But somehow, that doesn't make the person making the accusation racist. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They are determined to push this garbage, to teach the country to hate. They are the ones who are pushing racism in every aspect of our culture. These are not good people with bad ideas. These are horrible people. And what we need to be doing here as parents is paying much closer attention, not just to the schools, but to the toy companies and so on. And you know what? Boycott. Yes, I said it. It's been a long time coming, but it is time that we stop financially supporting the left's attack on our country, on our rights, the left's attacks on freedom and democracy. We got to stop funding the left's Marxist movement. And by engaging in business and buying stuff from these companies, that's what we are doing. We are funding the left's attack, the Marxist movement. When we use Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, we are funding the anti-American Marxists. And we need to be more conscious about not funding the left's authoritarian, anti-American Marxism and stop funding the racist left. You know why companies are going off and they are doing all of this? For the vast majority of them, they think it's good PR. That's why. They think that there is no consequence. See, if you bow down to the left, roll over and, you know, financially support them and echo whatever stupid, dumbass thing that they say, well, you appease the left and the right goes, well, you know, you're a private corporation. That is your right. And don't do anything. But if there was a consequence every time these corporations decided to take a political side where they decided to go through and support this racist critical race theory. I mean, and that's the thing. Make sure you call out these companies. Call out Hasbro is a racist company now. They are nakedly racism. They are promoting and supporting racism. They are no different than any other racist organization in history. They are an anti-American, racist, Marxist corporation. And you know what? I have no problem saying that. Yeah, come after me, Hasbro. I dare you. I'll flipping countersue your ass. And discovery will be a great thing, going through and getting all of the materials and pointing out how racist of a company you are. But we as conservatives need to pay close attention and do our research on each of these companies. And every company supporting this left-wing racist crap, this anti-American Marxist junk, we need to stop doing business with them. We need to make sure we no longer buy any toys for our kids made by Hasbro, right? And if they do have toys that aren't supporting racism, don't buy them new. Buy them off of eBay so that they don't get the business. Do not fund this company by buying their products. And do that with every company. Now, there may be situations where there is not an alternative. I get that. But if there is an alternative, make sure they realize, hey, you're going to do this? Fine. I'm not going to do business with you. I'm going to go over to this company instead and get my stuff over there. They all engage in it. Well, guess what? Then you start finding ways to spend more time with your kids, making toys yourself from scratch. Maybe build up your own business. But they need to know that there are going to be consequences going forward for them taking political sides, especially when they disgustingly decide that they're going to throw themselves in with the racists. And I have no problems. The Democrats prove by their very actions repeatedly that they are completely racist. And then, of course, there's the new Marvel Comics Insanity. Captain America would have been pro-communist in Vietnam. I'm at a loss for words. So apparently, in the Fantastic Four Life Story number 2, Marvel is retelling stories from the 1960s and the 70s through the lens of the era in which the comics debuted. According to Marvel Comics, in the 60s and 70s, the communists were the good guys, and Captain America not only freed communist prisoners, but he also attacked American soldiers in order to do so. Okay, they're completely destroying Captain America, and this is not by accident. This is them trying to take, you know, some sort of superhero and turn them into an anti-American Marxist, which, by the way, means that this is no longer Captain America. This is Captain Communist. This is Captain Hitler. This is Captain Authoritarian, Captain Putin. Take your pick. You know, it's Captain Russia. You know, you could take any pick that you want. Captain North Korea. That's what they are turning Captain America into. And they're trying to do this as part of their Marxist indoctrination, trying to get kids to be anti-American so that we eliminate the Constitution and democracy and put in left-wing authoritarian tyrants. And so, you know, not that I was a big comic buyer to begin with, but if this is the direction that Marvel is going in, I'm no longer buying anything Marvel. No more Marvel movies, no more Marvel TV series, no more, you know, no more Disney Plus, you know, no more any of this. And guess what? There is a benefit to boycotting, which means I'm not spending as much money, which means my bank account gets fatter. Now, I also need to do much more research related to my investments to make sure that I'm not investing in companies that are engaged in the pro-Marxist movement, to make sure that I'm not investing in companies that have thrown in with the leftist racist. Yeah, we need to start making sure that we put our money where our mouth is and stop funding the left's attack on this country. Okay, one last thing here, just real quick. Trump goes out there and says, maybe people don't trust Biden on the vaccines because they don't trust him on the election. Yes, turns out that when a person lies repeatedly, that when a person has proven to be a complete and total liar, their credibility goes to trash. And when it turns out that there is a lot of questions related to the legitimacy of the 2020 election and the Democrats are engaged in full-scale cover-up, yeah, you know, makes a lot of sense. I know I don't trust the vaccine. I don't. I'll be honest with you. You know, if Trump was still president, yeah, I would feel more comfortable about the vaccine and I'd have more trust in it. With Biden and the Democrats at the lead, I have no faith. I have no faith that this is the same vaccine developed under President Trump. I have no faith that they haven't changed or modified it. And I have no faith in what they are doing with it. I know the authoritarian tyrant. They don't care about your life. They don't care about how many of you actually die. They're willing to sacrifice millions of your lives as long as it means political power for themselves. You're just a pawn. And if you're white, well, then death is considered a positive outcome, like it is in so many other socialist countries, where they say, hey, they have more positive outcomes and their medical care. Yeah, they list death as a positive outcome. So good job, Trump, pointing that out, that Biden has no credibility. He's lied repeatedly, and you can't trust anything coming out of the Biden White House. They are liars. They are frauds. They are tyrants, and they wouldn't hesitate to have you die so long as it served their political need of the moment. All right, so that's it for this episode. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button if this is your first time listening. Leave me rating and reviews, and I will be back again soon.